Right, Tommy, mine's up. Oh, man. Doubled up. Okay. How's everybody doing? Welcome, everybody that's on Zoom. We're grateful that you're here with us. Everybody that's joining online, thank you so much. Anybody that's here visiting, you are an honored guest, and you are like family to us. And speaking of family, I've got a little bit of family here. So welcome them, my mom, my pop, my sister and brother-in-law, my niece are all here. We might have a few more trickling in. So yeah, I'm glad all you guys are here. You know, my whole life they've been preaching at me. So this might end up being the longest sermon that you all have heard me do because they're in attendance. So if we're here till 2 or 3 p.m., it's their fault. Just know that. So Nick has been doing a wonderful study in Revelation. And so I figured I would do something out of Genesis. And maybe at some point we'll meet somewhere in the middle. Who knows? So let's prepare our minds and our hearts to hear God's word. And we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 32. If you don't have a Bible with you, there are some in the back of the pew in front of you. Genesis chapter 32, we're going to talk about when Jacob wrestles with God. Okay, let's read God's word together. Starting at verse 22, chapter 32, verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford at the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. As we go through this scripture today, that question pops up. What is your name? Who are you really? What is your identity? What is your identity in Christ? That's what I want to focus on today, because it's the wrestling that brings us our identity in Christ. Let's say a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can come together like this and we can open up the truth and we can look into it and hold up a mirror at the same time, Father. That we can see who we are in you. Father, help us to be pricked in our hearts today, moved to action in our minds and our bodies. Father, we want to be more like you each moment of every day. Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for sacrifice. We thank you for grace and freedom and peace and joy, even in the trials. Even in the difficult times, even in the dark times, even in our lowest. Father, you are so good, and you choose each one of us and give us an opportunity to wrestle with you so that we can have a new name and that you can be glorified. Father, allow, as we have time this morning, Lord, to prepare our minds and hearts for a message that you have for each of us, Lord, that we may walk out of here not just hearers, but doers, not just doers, but doers that continue in it. Lord, we need you. We love you. We praise your name, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to just abundantly fill this place as we worship your name, Lord. We are so grateful. We're so grateful for you. Help us to worship in spirit and in truth today to glorify your name and have peace and joy in our hearts, Lord. Allow us to be moved to action for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Tom. I think that's the first time I've heard that song. I don't know about you guys. I was getting teary-eyed. It's a powerful song. Bird Newcomer was at the last sermon I did. And I had him in mind when I was preparing this passage a little bit, because after the sermon, he came up to me and said, "It was really good. You didn't cry the whole time." I said, "Thanks, Bert. I appreciate your encouragement." So, Bert, if you're listening, I love you, man. I've got this hobby, and it's a little weird, but you know, I think there's other people out here that you guys probably have this hobby too. Some of you, and it's people watching. I love it. I literally love it. It is, it's just fascinating to just sit back and watch people. And I mentioned Joanna, and I know you're watching, and I love you so much. So don't be mad at me for anything ever, please. good luck with that. That's right. So this is my hobby. I like to people watch, but I take it a step further because that's just who I am. So I play this little game, and I like to think it's a talent of mine. And I was discussing this, and Nick knows, because we spend a lot of time together, and I do this with Nick, play this game with Nick too. But I guess people's names. I guess people's names. We'll be sitting somewhere, and you know, maybe outside eating somewhere, and people are walking by, and I go, "That looks like a Frank. I bet you $5. I'm taking all Nick's money. I said, "Nick, I bet you $5 that's Frank." And I really, this is the part with Joanna, is because she doesn't like having attention drawn to her. And I'll trick her and I'll go, "I bet you that's a Frank right there." I say, "Look, I'm going to yell it and I'm going to look this way. You see if you look." I go, "Frank." She goes, "Stop. What are you doing? This is ridiculous." I'm probably never right. But yeah, I am good at naming other things, though. So since we've moved here and we're on the fourth floor and there's mountain view in the back and it's beautiful and all this stuff, and I'm grateful my family's here. They get to come over and see the place for the first time and spend some time. But now you're already up here, so it's too late. But there's a lot of spiders. Okay, there's a lot of spiders webs, and so we have this one big spider, and I said, "That's Sebastian right there." I said, "That his name has got to be Sebastian. I mean, it just sounds like such an intricate, classy name. And his web is just so beautiful." Of course, Joanna hates spiders again. So I'm taking all kinds of shots at her today. And the other thing was we love where we're at. We're so blessed. We're grateful that it's not such a tiny, small apartment that we were in before. But we're up on the fourth floor. And I know my family's looking forward to going up all those stairs. I know I was, and Nick was, moving things up there. But being up on the fourth floor, I think maybe because we're so high up, we get so much wind, so much crosswind. And we love it, but there's so much whistling. I mean, it's sometimes it keeps Riley up. And me being the amazing husband and father and naming things that I do, I said, me and Joanna said, "That it sounds like there's a ghost outside." It's just the perfect, if you would think of the perfect Scooby-Doo sound effect of a ghost, "Ooh," that's what it sounds like. And I said, "We can't keep calling this thing a ghost." And then I came in last week, so random. Joanna had no idea what I was going to say. She was in the kitchen. I come out of the bedroom, and I go, "I got it. And we weren't talking about this at all. So she has no idea what I'm saying. I said, I got the perfect name. I'm going to tell you what his name is. And I know you can't dispute it. Winston. It's a perfect ghost name. Winston it is. So ever since then, you go, oh, Riley's awake. Winston must have did it. I tell you all that because clearly names don't mean much to us. I've probably and playing that game. I do give myself credit for Sebastian the Spider and Winston, our fake whistling ghost outside of our window that keeps our baby up. But names don't mean much to us in our culture. I mean, they have some meaning, but in the Bible, your name is an identifier. And there's two main ways that the Bible will use names. And one of those is to describe the character of an individual. Your name will describe maybe a characteristic about you physically or your personality. And then the second way, and this goes for places, I think, often too. And the second way is like an event that took place, something that now has happened, and now you have your name identifies with that event. So, and in our passage, Jacob's name has a lot of meaning to it, like all names in the Bible. And in our passage, Jacob's name, I get an advance here. There we go. Jacob's name is common. Commonly translated to mean deceiver or trickster. And I think even a better word that we don't really ever use much in our language is supplanter. And that means to take the place of another. So this is Jacob's character. This is his identity. He's a deceiver. He's a trickster. He's a supplanter. He's trying to get ahead of people. And it even shows from the very beginning of his life. In chapter 25 of Genesis, he has his twin brother Esau, who's born first. And Jacob, we find in that passage, is trying to supplant. He's grabbing the heel, grasping as if like aggressively to pull him, to pull himself down and pull himself ahead of Esau. And just from even in the womb, they're tussling, they're fighting. And Jacob grabs the heel of Esau and is trying to supplant himself. He's trying to deceive. He's trying to take his place. Later on in that chapter, Jacob would take advantage of his brother Esau. Esau's name means hairy because it's a characteristic of his body. He was a hairy individual. And Esau was an outdoorsy type. He was doing outdoor things. So later on in chapter 25 of Genesis, Esau's out, he's working, he's literally starving to death, comes in, and Jacob sees the perfect opportunity to take advantage of him. Esau asked us to have a bowl of the red stew that Jacob had prepared. And Jacob sees the opportunity to deceive and tricks his brother and takes advantage of him, really, and says, I'll give you a bowl of soup, but you got to swear your birthright to me. You have to swear your birthright. His own brother, his own twin brother, and he's deceiving him. He's taking advantage of him. In chapter 27 of Genesis, it's important that we know all this backstory in order to understand really what this wrestling means. In the 27th chapter of Genesis, Jacob takes animal skin, animal fur, and with the help of his mom, tricks his father, Isaac, his aging, blinding father, into giving him his brother's blessing, which was a double portion. And he deceives his father. And I think his father even was onto it. But he was able, with his mother's help, to deceive him and take his blessing. And it's at that point that Esau wants to kill him. Esau gets to a point where he goes, I've had enough. You know, and he wants to kill him. He wants to pursue him, and Jacob has to flee. So Jacob flees, and he continues to just have this identity, have this character his whole life of deception, of trickery, of trying to supplant, of trying to take advantage, really chasing after his own desires, his own issues, his own wants. And it catches up to him. By the time we get to the passage we're at, it has caught up to him. He spent 20 years away from his family, and God tells him, come back. Come back to Canaan, come back to his land. And where, right before we get to the wrestling, in Jacob's mind, he's getting ready to see Esau the next day, his brother. And his brother is waiting for him with 400 men. And in Jacob's mind, it's a sure death. His life is fine. His life of tricking, tricking people, deceiving, of supplanting, is finally caught up with him. And he's perceiving, I got death around the corner. My brother's going to kill me. He's got 400 men. I mean, he's trying to make quick work of me. And we need to understand that at this time that Jacob is wrestling, this is really what, it's really a broken man that's facing death in the hands of his brother. That's who Jacob is when we get to our passage. He's a broken man with sure death on his mind. If we go to a little earlier in our chapter, 32 verse 9, Jacob says this amazing, really it's a foxhole prayer. So Genesis 32 verse 9, I'll read this prayer. It says, then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I've become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. For I'm afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers and with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Jacob is saying, Lord, save me. I know I'm going to die. My brother is waiting on the other side. I know that I have all my deceiving, all of my supplanting, all of my taking advantage of people has caught up to me. Lord, I need you. I'm facing death. I'm afraid. He's afraid. He's alone. He's broken. He's afraid. Essentially, doing life his own way has finally caught up to him. And it's at this pinnacle point that he's facing imminent death. And then this is when he wrestles with God. He sends all of his family away. We're getting into verse 22 now. Jacob got up, took his two wives, two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he'd sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. He's getting rid of everything because he knows, I don't want to bring this upon them. This is my deal. This is my brother I got to face. This is my sin I need to face. This is my deception. This is my past life just building up. I've got to face this. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. The man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. He says, what is your name? He says, deceiver. He says, supplanter. Trickster. Liar. He comes clean. He surrenders. He says, this is me. This is what I got. This is all I got. This is just me. And it's not good. This is me. I'm just being raw. I'm being honest. I'm Jacob. But here's the beauty. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and you've overcome. He says, you're no longer the deceiver. You're no longer the supplanter. You're no longer the liar. You're no longer the depressed, anxious, worried, fearful individual. That's not you anymore. You have a new name, and it's Israel. Because you struggle with God and with humans, and you've overcome. Your persistence has paid off. Jacob, naturally, I think I would ask this too. What's your name? Tell me who you are. He replied, why do you ask? Why do you ask my name? And then he blesses them there. And then Jacob calls the place Peniel because he saw God face to face and his life was spared. He doesn't need to answer that question, by the way. God doesn't need to tell him his name. And I think he's okay with that. If somebody came upon me and started wrestling at the worst spot in my life, and they have, I know who that is. I don't need to know his name. He doesn't need to answer to me. Now, this verse seems a bit out of place, this part. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. And right here, therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. That seems a little out of place, but this is true to this very day. Orthodox Jews don't do this. They don't eat that tendon. I was reading oftentimes, if they can't peel the tendon out of the meat, they'll just cut the hind legs off and to avoid this. And that may be extreme in our eyes, but they're doing this so they don't forget what happened here. And I think that's a powerful lesson in this verse. Something amazing happened to their forefather, Jacob, that transformed him completely. And they don't want to forget that. And I think this is an important lesson for us too. We need to not forget when God transformed our lives, when he came and touched our hip and made us walk different and talk different and look different. We need to remember that. Can I advance? Well, there we go. One thing we need to understand from this passage is who are you wrestling with? This is vitally important. Jacob spent his entire life wrestling with the wrong things, wrestling with himself, his own sinful desires, other people, the system. He spent his entire life wrestling all these things. It wasn't until he wrestled with God that things began to change, and change dramatically and radically. But we all do the same thing. We all wrestle with sinful desires. We wrestle with anxiety, with worry, fear. We wrestle with our relationships. We wrestle with other people. We wrestle with our spouse. We wrestle with our kids. Money, jobs, lust, depression. We all wrestle with these things. And often, not that it's wrong to get secular help in these things. It's wise, I think, to do that. But we spend too much time wrestling with the thing itself rather than wrestling with the one who can transform it. When we shift our wrestling to be with God, we start to see who he is and who we really are. We begin to see who he is and who we really are. Our real identity, our true identity, Israel, not Jacob. We begin to see that God is bigger than our problems. He's bigger than our spousal issues, our financial issues, our fear, our anxiety, caught up in all these what ifs. He's bigger than that. We begin to see our own identity. It's not deceivers and tricksters and supplanters. It's our identity isn't in the world. It's in him. It's in him. We begin to see that he wants to mold us and shape us in the wrestling to be more like him. But here's the thing. And here's the thing that Jacob learned. And this is what we need to learn. This is the lesson. We may need to endure some excruciating pain in our wrestling to inherit the new identity. Have any of you ever had a dislocated hip? Can you imagine the excruciating pain in a dislocated hip? Jacob endured that, and he still held on. It says, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, verse 25, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled. As he wrestled with him. He was going through that pain as he wrestled with him. Then the man said, let me go. Jacob was in such dire need of change that he didn't let the pain mess up enduring the wrestling. He continued to wrestle with God, even amidst all the excruciating pain he was going through. This is important. This is important because there's going to be pain in our wrestling. You know that? There's pain in the wrestling. We may go through physical pain. We're definitely going to go through emotional pain, psychological pain. Start thinking, is God really going to work in this? It starts succumbing to our mind, to our thoughts. This is the difficult part. This is walking it out. There's pain in the wrestling, but there's a reward too. Our greatest blessings come through persevering through the trials, pushing through the excruciating pain, persisting, persevering. James, in the first chapter of verse 12, puts it this way. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because of this. Because of having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Jacob receives the blessing, the new name. God blesses him because of his perseverance in his darkest time. God blesses perseverance. It's just so unnatural for us to persevere. And it's so easy for us to give up. To give up in that relationship. To give up in that job. To give up in that health concern. Say, God's not using this. I can't keep pushing. Keep pushing. God always blesses perseverance. Always. He always blesses perseverance. I want to encourage you right now because some of you maybe have something in mind right now that you're wrestling with, And it may be one of these things. It may be, how's God working in this relationship, in this marriage, in this raising of my kids, my job, I'm wrestling with my coworkers, I'm wrestling with a diagnosis. Whatever you're wrestling with, I want to encourage you to wrestle with God about it. Don't wrestle with the thing alone. Wrestle with God on these things and persevere in them. Persist in them. Keep seeking the Lord in them. Because when we do this and we focus our wrestling on God, with God rather than the problem, the situation, the trial, that's when we can keep the proper perspective of our wrestling. And that's this. God chooses to wrestle with Jacob so that we may see our struggles as an opportunity to demonstrate the character God has been developing in us. If we look back at our passage, verse 24. Jacob had sent his family, he'd sent his possessions across, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him at daybreak. That's easy to just kind of browse over, but God chose to wrestle with Jacob. God made the move pursuing Jacob in the wrestling. He's the one that started the match. And he did it for a reason. So that through Jacob's wrestling with them, we can see that these struggles are an opportunity. In Jacob's mind, life was over or severely counting down. And God used that struggle as an opportunity to show the character, to show the perseverance, the persistence, the love that he had for Jacob, to go out of his way and choose to wrestle with him in the struggle. God does the same thing for us. He's pursuing you in your situation right now. Right now, whatever it is that you're going through, he's pursuing you right now in that situation. He wants to mold you. He wants to shape you. He wants to break you. He wants to mold you some more. But he really wants to bless you through the wrestling with a whole new name, a whole new identity. A whole new name when we persevere in the struggle. An opportunity is the way to view the wrestling. An opportunity to wrestle up close and personal with God. To see him for who he is and for who we really are. An opportunity to realize that he has been working all things together for good because we love him and we're called to his purpose, to his kingdom. You know, there's one part of this that I struggled with and I need to reconcile in this passage. And that's verse 25. What about verse 25? Let's take a look at that. It says this. This is the first part. When the man saw that he could not overpower him. So wait a minute. When God saw that he could not overpower him, God couldn't overpower Jacob? That's the question I naturally ask myself. I asked three different people, and he said, good luck with that. Good luck explaining that one. Come on, truth. So I said, let's let Paul explain it. Would you flip to Philippians chapter 2 with me? Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5, it says this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature, of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. God emptied himself in the moment to show grace to Jacob and then radically transformed him in the very next. Verse 25 tells us that he couldn't overpower him. He emptied himself so that Jacob was able to wrestle with him, so that he was able to see who he really was and who God really was. And in the very next moment, pops his hip, radically transforms him, gives him a reason for people to see the change in him. He's walking different. He's talking different. He's got a new name, a new identity. He's a whole new person. God took the form of a man and wrestled with Jacob to show him this grace, to show him the mercy, to show him the love. He surrendered himself, emptied himself for Jacob for the purpose of wrestling, so Jacob could get up close and personal and intimate in a relationship, in a struggle. You ever go through something with somebody, maybe a friend or a spouse, and you become so much closer when you wrestle together with it? That's what God did. He emptied himself to get up close and personal with Jacob so that he would have a relationship with him. And in that relationship, he would see who God really is. And it would radically transform him into Israel. How much more intimate can that get? To have God lower himself and choose to wrestle me for my good and for his glory if we persevere in it. In closing, I want to make this statement. Jesus does the same thing. Jesus emptied himself in the same way to show us grace and give us a new life. He emptied himself to be a servant, to be obedient, to go to the cross willingly, to have a heart of surrender, completely emptying himself for us, to wrestle with us so that we can wrestle with him and we can have access to God the Father through him. Gives us a new life, a new identity in the wrestling. We just need to choose to wrestle with him rather than wrestle with the world. And we need to have a heart of surrender. And we need to persevere in our wrestling. May today we take our problems to the Lord in prayer and wrestle with him in the same way that Jacob did. In the same way he did, like his life depends on it. And through that wrestling, through that trial, wrestle with the Lord and persevere in it and continue in it, because that's where the blessing comes. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you that you chose each one of us. Father, that you give us an opportunity through your son, Jesus, to wrestle. Lord, we have so many troubles in this world that are just obvious to our society, to the world as a whole right now, to this country, to our community, to our families, to our jobs, to our spouses, to our kids. Lord, we have so much we wrestle with. Lord, we want to wrestle with you. We want to take these things to you. All of our brokenness, all of our sinful desires, our sinful ways, our sinful thoughts and actions have led us to a place where we know we can't do it on our own. We are broken in so many ways, and we live in a broken world, Lord. But you promised to give us a new name, a new identity. You choose to wrestle with us. Lord, I pray that we would choose to wrestle with you, that we would surrender our difficulties, we would surrender our will, our purpose, our desires, in these situations in life that are so difficult, and we pick up your will. We deny ourselves. We pick up our cross. We follow you, Lord. We wrestle with you. May you give us strength to persevere. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We're asking for it now, Lord. We need perseverance. We need patience. We need love. We need joy. It's all for your glory, Father. Mold us, shape us in our wrestling to be more like your Son, to focus intimately in an up-close, personal wrestling way, Lord, with you, so that we can be transformed, made more like you, and that people may see you through us. Father, please bless this perseverance in the struggles that we have. Give us the strength, the courage to continue in them and to see you through them. Be with my church family today. Allow us to walk out of here today, Lord, and not just hear, but to do. And not just do, but to continue in it, Lord. Lord, we know that you bless perseverance. We know that you bless surrender. Allow my brothers and sisters to see themselves for who they are and to see you for who you are. Walk with us today, Lord. Thank you for your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.